recently, all that I seem to do when I get into God's presence is just cry. I am overwhelmed by His love, by His grace, by His goodness. Sometimes when I see just where He's brought me from and where He's taken me, I just am overwhelmed with gratitude for all that God is. Hallelujah. I just want to thank this house for just being you and for the sacrifice that you make and for the great investments that you're making in the kingdom of God. It's so good to be here and just fellowship with you all. I don't even know how to begin to appreciate all that Bishop and Pastor have accomplished in our midst. That's why I'm thanking you for sacrificing them, for releasing them, you know, to us. Their last visit brought so much transformation in lives. And when I read the mails that they sent to me, sometimes I just weep. Because the things that we think are little, how they have life-transforming impact. The last time they came, it was a marriage seminar. Oh, and how many marriages were in trouble. And the time out with them brought so much healing in our marriages. Because you see, when families are doing well, the church is doing fine. And for many of these couples, they had just come to a place where, I guess, but for respect of the environment that they are, they wouldn't have been together again. But that time out in that marriage retreat, it changed their marriages. I remember one of my ministers, after the seminar, she came to me and she said, "Can we do this like every month?" I said, "Well, you need to fly here and ask permission from the bishop's church if they'll be willing to release them every month." But you know, that should just tell us the tension that was in her marriage. And she said to me, for the first time in her life, she's enjoying her marriage. She said to me, "I really wanted to just leave. I wanted to ask for a transfer in where I'm working, so they transfer me to another city. But that was because I just wanted to go away." She said, when she observed Pastor Glory, how she spoke, she said to herself, "God, I want to be like her." There are three marriages. One of my ladies, she came to see me. She said, "I just came to thank you because they had had a major crisis in their marriage and things were really bad. Now, the husband is a pastor in the church. And so they were just putting up a front. Things had just really gotten out. The center could no longer hold. And they had been separated. They were living in the same house, but they were separated." And after the marriage seminar, the following week, she came to me, she said, for the first time, my husband has opened his mouth and told me, I have forgiven you. There are so many testimonies. There's this other couple. They just got married like 2 months ago. But for some strange reason, it's only after they got married that they realized they were not meant to get married, to be together. I don't know how that works. Just 2 months after. And 2 months after, all they were doing was just to see how we could be separated. In fact, they were supposed to come for the marriage retreat together. But the tension was so much, she is pregnant, and she's supposed to travel with her husband. But the tension is so much that they arrive in the marriage retreat separately. So she travels on her own, and he travels on his own, and this is a distance of like 5 hours. But that is so bad, how bad things had become. But you know, after that marriage retreat, they said, we would have made the greatest mistake in our lives if we separated. There are so many testimonies. We also had a time for the young people, and even though it was just one day, but the package that they brought down gave them good orientation. So I just want to give this testimony to say thank you, Bishop, thank you, Pastor Glory, for investing in God's people of the kingdom. And to let you know, whatever you're doing to release them, please keep doing it. Because it is recording treasures in heaven. And God is seeing all that you're doing. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. I think I left my glasses there, please, Pastor. I definitely do. Thank you so much. You're 19 years old. So how many of you feel 19? You know, 19 is an important age. It's just one more year before you leave the teens. So at 19, you should be becoming sons. All right. And there is something that sons do. I want us to take a look at that this morning. All right. There is something that only sons could do. Children can do that. Only sons. See, we are all born children, but we are made sons. So we might all be children, but there are things in the house that only sons can handle. Let's start the story from Genesis chapter 13. Is there a good and fast reader in the house to take from verse 1 to 13 for us? Genesis 13, 1 to 13. If you can, please just read for us. You can read the Bible? Oh, please do. Thanks.
So Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord, and Lot went with Abraham. Abram also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And that at that time the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord.
Thank you very much. Let's look at verse 11. The last part. How does your version put it? They separated themselves from each other.
So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other.
Thus they separated from each other. Can we say that?
They separated from each
other. See, for me, that is one of the saddest verses of scriptures. Just those three words, they separated from each other. That was the beginning of a tragic fall. For a man that God had picked him up, released a destiny over him, and was taking him to somewhere. Right there, that separation, they separated themselves. Never get separated. Stay connected to where God has placed you. Stay connected to the blessings of the Father. One of the tragic things I see happening in the church of God today, and which is destroying the church, is what I call the spirit of the orphan. We don't want to remain connected to the place, to the people that God has brought into our lives for a purpose. And one thing you get to realize is, no matter the great gift you have, no matter the giftings you have, don't be an orphan. Lot came into tremendous blessings because of his connection to Abraham. When Lot is connected to Abraham, Abraham is able to open God's favor upon Lot. In verse 5, the Bible says, Lot went about with Abraham, and he too had cattle, had goats, had sheep. How did Lot come into these blessings? Because of his connection to Abraham. The Bible says further that Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And by reason of his connection, by reason of his submission to Abraham, it became natural for Lot also to begin to acquire cattle, gold, and silver. And this is what that connection does. When we stay submissive, when we stay subjected, when we stay connected to the fathers that God has placed in our lives, what they do is they open the favor of God towards your life. See, when God revealed himself to Jacob, he says to Jacob, I am the God of thy father, Abraham. God will always reveal himself to us through somebody. You see, young Samuel had to listen to the voice of the prophet Eli in order for him to have his wonderful relationship with God. He needed the prophet Eli. In Malachi chapter 4, God says, I'm going to come back to the earth. But before I do that, I'm going to send my prophets down there. What should they do? They should turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Yes. Because God has to, first of all, mend that foundational relationship before anything else can happen. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, not even the righteous can do anything. The church has a powerful destiny. But there is a problem. The foundations are broken down. And because that foundation is broken down, the church cannot fulfill purpose. If the foundations be destroyed, not even the righteous can do anything. You might speak all the tongues you know to speak. You might have all the faith you have. But if the foundation is not right, the building can't stand. Abraham's, Lot's connection to Abraham, we saw Lot moved from being an orphan because he lost his father. So we saw Lot move from being an orphan to becoming an important man. Lot is now an employer of people. Lot is now a wealthy man, a man of influence and affluence. Lot has become so wealthy that the space around him could no longer contain him. And in that increase that Lot had acquired by reason of his connection to Abraham, Lot began to think, I don't need him again. See, this is where we're making the mistake. There is a tendency that after 19, you're just waiting, you know, to be that 20, and then in my country it's 21. Once you're 21, you feel like, I don't need parents again. That's a mistake. So we see Lot in that little verse. He moved from... This is Lot's life. He moved from becoming an orphan to becoming an important person by reason of a father over him. And when Lot is now important and feels he doesn't need father again, he moves out. What does he do? He rejects the destiny that God was handing to him, and he goes back to the position of an orphan. That's right. Consider the sons of the prophet. You know, they found themselves in the same predicament like Lot. The space became small for them. And they said to the prophet, we want to expand. The prophet, like Abraham, said, no problem, go ahead. But unlike Lot, they expanded with the prophet. See, there is no problem in expanding. It's a good thing. It's the dream of every father. I say to the church, it's my desire to see you grow up, become sons, start your own ministry somewhere. But listen, don't disconnect.
Yes, 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 yes.
The grace that the sons of the prophet had is they expanded, but they did not disconnect. This is why sooner, when they had problems, whose voice spoke over the problem? The voice of the prophet. You still need the voice of the fathers. No matter how big you have become, no matter how great you are, no matter how influential you are, the voice of the father is still the voice of the father. A child can never outgrow the father. See, we have this African proverb that says, an okra tree never grows taller than its owner. How many of you have seen the tree of an okra? Do you know how it grows? But you eat it. See, it grows so tall. But the beauty of it is, when the owner wants to harvest the okra, he holds a lower branch and pulls it down and harvests it. You might be tall, but you can never grow taller than your father. He still has the final word. He can let you keep growing tall, or he can hold the branch and bring you down. This is why it's a foundational relationship. Don't squander it. Don't mess it up. Don't blow it up. You need it at every season in your life. See, the fathers, they may not know how to wear their shoes correct. But one thing they know, how to release blessings. And in life, we can't succeed without these blessings over us. In Genesis chapter 27, we see these blessings being released over Jacob. Can we read? Somebody read that for me. Read from verse 27. I want us to listen to the words that the father is speaking over his son. And we see how, even though we might think this father is not so educated, this father does not know much, this father has never left Canaan, this father is not traveled, does not have experience. But let us listen to the words that he's speaking over his son, and let's see how these words shaped his destiny.
When Isaac was old.
From verse 27, yes.
Chapter 27?
Yes, chapter 27 from verse 27.
27. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See the smell of my son is the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed."
Watch the blessings now, verse 28.
"May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and the plenty of grain and wine.
Mm-hmm.
Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you.
Mm-hmm.
Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you."
Thank you very much. Did you see that? The blessings that Isaac is releasing over Jacob? And did you notice that these blessings shaped Jacob's life? He says he released a material blessing over him. And watch Jacob's life. Even though the man was running away, even though he lived with a wicked uncle, that uncle could not thwart this destiny, because it has been spoken by the father. When the Father releases the right words over your life, it doesn't matter the hardship you face, you're still going to hit your destiny. It doesn't matter the wickedness you encounter, because those words have been released over you. You fulfill purpose. Watch this. He says, nations. Where is that verse 28? Verse 29. He says, nations will bow down to you. Political supremacy. This man did not go to read political science in school. But he is releasing that over his son. You see, somehow it feels like some politicians, they get this more than us in the church. Because politicians will seek out for the priest to speak a word over them. Because they have come to understand that what you speak shapes their political career. And this is what Isaac is releasing over his son. So yes, we see them going into bondage for so many years, but excuse me, even though they were in bondage in the land of Egypt, but they were not bowed down. They still rose up. We see his son many years later, Joseph, rising up to fulfilling that destiny. Supremacy. He also releases immunity upon him. No man can curse you. This is why when we have these connections, when we have fathers that watches over us and that speak over us, you might go to places where somebody just dislikes you and wants to pronounce a curse over you. Oh, don't you worry, it won't stand. Because the Father has spoken blessings over you. I have this lady that works with the United Nations, and it's a good place to work in because they pay good money, but the environment is so satanic. I attended a conference, a United Nations conference once in Addis Ababa when they were talking about gender equality, and they had invited me to come attend the conference. When I got in there, as I just entered, I felt like running out of the place. Because the environment is dense. And so when she is narrating her experiences in her office, I could understand. It is so secular that God is not there. And you know, any place where God is not there, nature abhors a vacuum. If God is not there, something is there. So the environment is so hostile to them who are believers. And she is supposed to be promoted. But her boss don't just like her. And her boss keeps making incantations against her. And her boss keeps pronouncing things against her. And she will run to me and say, look at what they have done, look at what they have done. And I said to her, don't you worry. I have spoken the word. And the word I speak overrules over what she's doing. If she will not approve you for promotion, watch it. She will be bypassed. And somebody else will give you the promotion. Because I know she works hard. And she's dedicated in her job. And that kind of evil and wickedness should not prevail over her. And that's exactly what God did. Because she will not give her approval, her immediate boss came and said, but we have not received this lady's a note from you. What's happening? And while she's delaying, he says, don't worry, I've been observing her work. I'll do the report myself. And he did the report, and she was promoted. See, parents know how to release blessings over your life. And it is the words of your parents that is released over you that overrules every other thing. So you want to make sure they release the good one. Jacob received words that shaped his entire destiny. Because you see, it's your connections that brings you to your destiny. Ruth, Orpah, Naomi. Same situation like Lot. See, the thing we need to realize is sometimes these connections is not so rosy. Sometimes it is dry. Sometimes it is hard. The prophet Elijah said to Elisha, "You have asked for a hard thing." How many times did he say, "Go away, don't follow me, I don't need you. Come on, hush." Drove him away. But every turn, by the time he sees, Elisha is there. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult that Elijah made it for Elisha, Elisha refused to disconnect. That's right. He refused. Because he knew, right here is my destiny. See, don't separate yourself. See, this is what I don't get with us in the church. God places a good father over your life. You see them struggling to be right, to do right in the church. They bless you, they pray for you. They are here all the time, they are dedicated in the service. But no. We don't appreciate that. We are willing to just run away and go fall into the hands of God have mercy on his church. You see, don't separate yourself just because there is a season where things are not working right. When you do that, you have just squandered your destiny. See, the saddest thing that happened in Lot's life is that he got separated from Abraham. He did not have to separate himself from Abraham. There are people that God has placed in your life, and you know that that relationship is meant to be a lifetime relationship. If you ask me, I think the greatest sin is the sin against relationships. And just watch how we throw away these relationships in the church. Somebody picks you up, mentors you in your career, is there with you to counsel you when things are bad, and invest his life into you, and one day you just wake up and off you go. Just like that. You see, watch such people. The beauty of this kind of lesson is you can listen to it and you can look at life and people. And you'll see that this is what is happening. That's right. If we don't get our foundations right, it's a father-son relationship. Jesus could succeed in his mission here on earth because of that father-son relationship. All right. Jesus says, "I can't do anything that I have not seen or heard the Father do." Because if the relationship with Father is not right, then nothing else that you build on that will stand right. You see, when David kills Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, Saul is amazed. But what is the question that Saul asks? He does not say, "Which battalion does that boy belong to?" No, that's not the question. The question is, whose son is he? In that question, he's saying, "I know there is a foundation. I know there is a foundation that gave this boy the strength to kill Goliath. So the question I want to ask us, can there be a son without a father? You see, to be a son, you have to have been mentored by a father. A son cannot reach his potentials without fathers. That's why Isaiah 9:6 says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Children are born, but sons are made." We are all born children. But you see, the Bible says creation is groaning and is waiting for the manifestation of what? Children of God? No, sons of God. We are all born children. But you see, at 19, the sons start distinguishing themselves from the children. The sons start taking responsibilities in the house.
I got to get it out.
The danger will be when, instead of you being a son, you're still a child. And you know what children do? They run off all over the place throwing tantrums. I don't like this. Why should I pray? Why must I fast? Why are they asking me to come to church? Why? Never mind that all of this is for your good. But that is what children do. You say to the child, come take your vitamins. No! Throwing tantrums all over the place. Never mind that the vitamins is for their own good. At 19, let sons begin to distinguish themselves in the house. At 19, remain connected. Because it is right here that your foundations are established. Children cannot fulfill the father's will. One problem we have in the church is we are born children today, and by tomorrow we want to say we are sons already. Now, growth is a process. Growth is a process. You might dress up in adult suits, but you're still a child. It's not the suit that makes you a son. You know they have become sons when they start taking care of things in the house. See, when God gave Joseph his dream, he was only 19. Now, the end of that dream is not for a 17-year-old. So what does God do? God takes him through the whole process of growth.
What you say?
Before the dreams could eventually come to pass. No matter how much faith you have, can I ask this little boy, can he come? Come. Come, son. I like that. What's your name?
Elijah.
Elijah. That is the man. Look out for Elijah. Now, look at this young man. Who has faith in this house? So much faith. Who? You do? Okay, please come. I like your faith. The man of faith. What's your name, sir?
Daniel.
Oh, man. This is Daniel and Elijah. We got a powerful team here. Now, Daniel, with your faith, can you pray for this boy to have, what do you call the one that grows here?
Beards.
He won't have a beard now.
Won't have the beards now. Why?
Because he's still a child.
Thank you very much. Ah. Uh-huh. Thank you, Elijah.
Put it down.
It requires a process.
Yes, ma'am.
Growth. See, there are things that no matter how much faith you have, if you are a child, you are a child. You won't get it. When you go through the growth process, then you don't even need to pray for beard. Beard will come. If you want them long, it will be long. If you want this one here, it will come. You want the one, whatever it is, when you get there, it will come.
Yes.
That means stop throwing the tantrums. Don't separate yourselves. From the point where Lot separated himself, that was the beginning of his downfall. Yeah. He came so low to the point where he's sleeping with his daughters.
Yeah. Wow.
He lost everything. Yeah. And you know what? When things became so bad, who was it that had to run back to his rescue? Somebody said the fathers. Somebody said, I need to stay connected to the fathers. Now, you might be privileged to have a biological father who can mentor you. But because when God does his things and when God gives a requirement, he wants to make sure that there is no excuse. So in his house, he raises up fathers to do that. Get your foundations right. When that foundation is right, if you want to build a skyscraper thereafter, it's your choice. You can go as high as you want to go. But the earth is waiting for the church to start manifesting as sons, not children. And at 19, don't remain a child. Become a son. Let's rise up on our feet. It's interesting that even at 19, some people are already, even naturally, some people are already so mature and responsible, and yet at 30, some people still don't get it. This morning, I want you to pray a simple prayer. Say, oh God, help me to remain connected. Say, oh God, even... Oh, okay, I was just trying to give you... Now, I'm just trying to give you, you know, the idea so you can lift up your voice and pray, you know, that you want to remain connected. Even when it's not rosy, even when it's not good, even when there is tension, even when there is strife, even when there are things going on that you don't like, the solution is not disconnection. The solution is to remain. Sons never quit. Even when there is fire, sons try to quench the fire. Hirelings, they quit. They run. But the sons remain because their interest is the house. It is my house. So pray this prayer this morning. Say, Father, help me to stay connected. May I never separate myself from the place and the people that you have given me to bring me to my destiny. May I never allow myself and my ego to make me disconnect from the place and under the people that you have positioned me. I desire to fulfill my destiny. Help me not to squander it. Help me not to be controlled and be ruled by my ego. Help me, O God, that even like Elisha, I would remain connected to Elijah. Help me, O God, that even like the sons of the prophet, I may expand, but I want to expand with the prophet. Help me, O God, that even like Ruth, because I've fallen into bad days, that I don't leave my Naomi to go, but I remain with her in season and out of season, in the good times as in the bad times. And where she dies, O God, I pledge to die there with her. So help me, God. Just look at your life. Yeah. How is your relationship like? Yeah. How is your relationship? With all the important people that God has placed in your life. Could be your spouse. Could be your biological parents. Could be your spiritual mentor in this house. You need to work on these relationships. Because if the foundation is not right, then your life is going nowhere. But this morning, by the power of these words, God is releasing a destiny over you. You will fulfill your purpose. You will accomplish the plans of God for your life. You will stand in the place where God wants you to stand. And you would rise to the position that God has ordained for you to rise. And you will remain connected, never separated. So help me, God. In Jesus' name I pray.